This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, Karen. How are you, my friend?
Chris, hi. How are you?
There's no need to yell. I can hear you over the...
Are you sure? I'm in the valley.
I know. I'm in Echo Park still, but I have headphones.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, we have...
I have a microphone.
We have headphones in Echo Park now. It's great. You know, I watched... Yeah. I want to say Judgment Night, but it was called Training Day, and it's my neighborhood. And apparently this used to be a much worse neighborhood than it is now.
Pretty intense over there before the gentrification.
It was. Yeah. But I mean, now it's a night. I like where it's at. I think most people are happy with it. But yeah, we just got microphones and headphones over here, so I can hear you is my point.
So glad that they've finally evolved to the audio. to the audio level we are used to over
here.
Yeah,
a lot of early...
The San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, a lot of early Angeleno Heights podcasts were the old cup and yarn. We have a guest today, and I think you always do a better, more professional job of introducing our guest, but then I'll say nice things about her, too.
You're afraid you're going to pronounce her name wrong? I know that old trick. Ladies and gentlemen, today, you know her from the Jackie and Lori show.
Yes.
You know her from clubs and colleges all over the country. You know her as a repeat guest on Do You Need a Ride? She was a stalwart. We would go to her in our times of need.
Yes.
We would go to her when we had nothing else to talk about. We would go to her when we knew we needed podcast delivery. She is the one. That's right. It's Jackie Cation.
Content provider Jackie Cation. That's what I like to be introduced as.
Since 07.
2006, the Dork Forest. Here's the thing about Van Nuys is we're living Bridgerton. You guys are living Training Day. Yeah, we're living Bridgerton over here. People are having sex against trees.
I don't remember the last time we dropped you off. There being a lot of powdered wigs and things like that.
There's powdered wigs and there's women who don't know how it works, the ejaculations. They don't know why it works or what's happening.
May we just do a Bridgerton quick dip? Because I feel like the prudiest and spoiler... Entire spoiler alert. I think we've already done it. We're going to do it more.
Of course.
But when it came to the part where that, I kept going, this can't be the plot line. This can't be a plot line. And what Jackie just said is essentially That was the plot line. And I literally Googled it because I was like, it's got to be me. I'm being weird and perverted right now. And then it was like, no, no, no. This is from the book. This is how it is.
This is where I lose all respect for the Do You Need a Ride friends and family, which is I read the books before it came out.
Of course. Look at the I wish this was a vlog so that you could see Jackie's smug lean back.
Allow me to tell you about season two, you guys. Anthony's allergic to bees. I gotta go.
That's
gotta go.
So hurtful.
Don't you dare drop
so
that shit and leave.
Jackie.
I'm storming out now.
Out of respect for the books, I haven't started watching it because I know I gotta read those books first. That's not true. I didn't like the promo footage
at all.
It's just not.
It's an ejaculation based plot.
Ejaculation based plot. My one of the best things because Shonda Rhimes, she really stuck the landing on this thing. She nailed it.
Yes.
And I have to say that my favorite was the fact that they took modern songs and put them to string quartets or orchestral Ariana Grande, whatever. I mean, like dance tunes. And then all of a sudden it's a waltz. So good for her. Good for them.
Oh, wow.
They really did nail it. But it's true that
it's dumb.
I don't know if it was the A plot or the B plot or the J plot, but it really was a major part of the storyline. And I just was kind of like, I get that this is, you know, sexy and Randy and there, you know, that guy was among the hottest people I've ever seen. The main
just walking
whatever,
around. Holy smokes, that actor.
He's quite something. But then that part where I was like, it's borderline like medical school shit where I was just like, I don't think this is sexy. Is it me? Do people like stuff like this? It's very unsexy.
It's literally the plot of a lot of romance novels. And that's all Bridgerton is.
Is that true?
Yeah. It is, especially historical romance novels, because they're written. Remember that romance novels traditionally are written for women, by women, about women. And what they'd like to point out is truly how shitty it used to be and how much better it sort of is now. And one of the things was women were not told the plumbing situation about the actual mechanics of the doing it.
Okay. So that's why it gets clinical.
Totally why it gets clinical.
Wow. I guess I gotta start.
The fun plot of that is the whistle down thing and the other characters. So the woman who wrote it, Julia Quinn, actually is almost funny. She's genuinely funny in the world of romance novels. She's almost funny if you happen to hang out with hilarious people all the time.
That's a problem with me all the time. That these almost people don't cut it. These almost funny people don't cut it anymore. Yeah.
There's trouble.
The question I have is I didn't realize it was. So it's essentially kind of like a Jane Austen romance novel, reapproaching.
Let's unpack that statement, which is Jane Austen didn't write historical romance novels. She wrote contemporary novels in 1815-ish, right? So in 1920, a woman named Georgette Heyer decided to write a Jane Austen-like novel and created, and this is, this could all be corrected by someone with an English degree, but Georgette Heyer wrote historical romance novels set in the time of Jane Austen.
Oh.
And then people who, with more or less interest in research and more or less interest in doing it and depicting it, and it being sex, have thus written since then. And in the 1950s and 60s, when the romance novel became very, very popular, they sold them in grocery stores because women didn't have enough money because of bad things. And so women could hide romance novels in their grocery budget.
Yeah. Ooh,
this has been a fun fact.
That's why
I would love to know who thought that up.
Yeah. It explains why they're right next to the gum. It's an impulse buy that your husband won't see.
Epic. And a madman level of advertising going on there.
Yes.
Outstanding.
If like there was a book editor woman and a grocery store manager man that were husband and wife, and she was just like, honey, I got it. Here we go. Something like that is how I like to picture.
And to the bank. To the bank with you.
To the
with your
bank
monies.
We go.
As we laugh.
And that was Jerry and Diane Kroger. You know them. You know them. You love them.
Okay. Now I will digress again and weed off. Have you seen Danielle Perez's The Real Housewives of Zoom?
Not yet.
No.
It is outstanding. It is hilarious. And one of the characters is Mrs. Zoom. And her husband did, and she talks about him all the time. And people are like, why are you talking about him? And you're just like, because this wouldn't even be happening without Edgar or whatever the hell his name is. Oh, my God. Too funny. It truly, truly is.
Was Zoom around for a while before this whole quarantine situation? Or
who knows?
Who knows? I feel like it just came out the day of.
I feel
March
like it was
13th.
It was one of those kind of things that the visionary in the office was always trying to get people to jump onto it. And they were just like, yeah, no, that's weird. It's uncomfortable. It's very awkward. Nobody wants to do it. We don't care. We'll just email the people in Tampa. We don't have to Zoom with them. It's, mm-hmm. it's all mm-hmm. the same. And then the second quarantine hit, they were like, told you. I told you.
So lucky. Just the timing.
In your face.
In your face.
Yeah.
I found out today that I had blocked the POTUS Twitter account, which is funny. Like that was going to hurt Trump's feelings, but I unblocked it. And we did. Today, there's news that we all will be eligible for a vaccine by May 1st. So that's good, right? That's good news.
Yeah.
That is good. It turns out all we needed was a government that was willing to be a government.
Yeah.
And
just for a couple months.
in the good ways and the bad ways, but that's I'm more interested right now in the good ways, which is organizing the postal service and vaccines.
Yes.
It just feels like there are many people in this administration that know how to open and use an Excel spreadsheet, and that makes me feel great.
Oh, it gives me a sense of peace and serenity. Yes. Yeah, every
yes.
day.
No one's trying to shut off the mail permanently. Yeah. No one's trying to make money off of ventilators. I feel like the making money off of ventilators, and they just said it right on TV, mm-hmm. was this low point, like morally, spiritually, everything, where I was just kind of like, I don't know if we're coming back from this, where they're just basically like, hey, we're not just going to give them out. We got to make some money.
Right.
Like Jared Kushner said it on TV.
God.
Yeah. Guys.
Guys.
Let's collect our podcast performance abilities back together.
Yes.
And really talk about
and
more fun.
Now,
Jackie, I feel like I haven't seen you. Has it been 1 year or 2 years since we did our
Caitlin Gill?
Yeah, that tour through.
That feels at least a year and a half, at least an hour and a half ago when we were some. There was a redwood. I thought of Kilgariff. Who knows?
My phone just sent me photos of it not long ago, so it had to be just a year ago.
Well, that's a sign. I just got a text from. I actually, I've gotten the first shot.
Oh, sweet.
So, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's great.
I stood in line. Stood in line. See, my mother-in-law got it and we're her primary caregiver. She's in her mid-70s, whatever. And then my husband was eligible, so he's getting his tomorrow. And I was like, well, then I'm just going to go stand over by Balboa Park and see if they have any extras. And I'm luckily I'm old enough that they look at me and heavy enough that they're just like, oh, she's probably at risk.
Everyone I know that's gotten it, there wasn't much of a vetting. They didn't ask a lot of questions. You just show up.
They did vet the line.
Sure.
They did. Okay. They did pick other people before me.
Oh, okay.
And it was at the end of the day.
Okay.
And so it took a couple of hours. And then
that's good. That's time well spent.
It's time well spent. And what it has done is created new anxiety. It turns out I hate change, whether it's positive or not. All year I've been
doesn't
like,
matter.
Why? I got to get out of here. I've been LARPing out some LAX time here in the garage, pretending I'm at LAX.
LARPing. So, thank you for saying LARPing.
And then and now that I'm going to travel, I assume after I get the second shot and 2 weeks after, because that's what it is. 2 weeks after you get the second shot, it's all coursing through your body and you're as safe as you can be with a mask. And then also continue to wash your hands and use sanitizer. And yes, don't be a moron.
And then you'll feel good. You'll feel safe to go do stand up places.
Then I'll feel safe to go do stand up places.
Yeah.
And I guess still not sell any merch. You guys, I bought $5,000 worth of merch before we went into lockdown last year.
You got to sell that merch. Jackie, look, we will remember too, if you have any dates that you know for sure right now, or you want to plug them at the end, but our listeners are big comedy fans and supporters.
Yeah. Okay.
And where you go, if we have them in that area, they will come and see you. I mean, okay. They're like
April 23rd. Really, April, it's either 23rd or 24th. It's the weekend, that weekend of April. I'm going to be in Milwaukee in a very large theater, socially distant.
Nice.
And it's going to be not full by any means, but it's going to be relatively expensive because it's sort of a benefit for this theater. And oh, for some reason, I can't remember, but whatever it is, I know the weekend, so I don't know the night. Okay. I know the city. I don't know the venue.
That's so funny. Is it through the Laughing Tap people?
It's through the Laughing Tap people.
Yeah,
and
I was supposed to do that at the end of this month. And I said, I'm scared. I can't.
Well, I have had so many things scheduled that I've had to say I'm scared I can't.
Yeah.
That about 2.5 months ago, I said, I am not booking anything until I get the first shot.
Yeah.
And then here's the annoying thing. Start saving up, fans of Do You Need a Ride? Because Ticketmaster is giving no one a deal to see this show. So
how much is it, do you know?
I think $75? It's like $50 or $60.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a drag. So if you have work and you have money, it will help the theater in addition to myself. But know that it's expensive.
Which is good because the live venues really need your support.
Yeah.
So
yes.
We're only talking to our richer listeners.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
People struggling, take a breather.
Yeah.
Don't
richer listeners,
don't
lean
sweat
forward.
It. That's it. That's it. Yeah. And
get in there.
Because we all want to help the theater. We all want to make sure the theater remains open. And, but we also wish the Ticketmaster wasn't a pile of doo doo.
Yeah, just like Pearl Jam said a long time ago.
They did.
Did they?
Yeah, they were very upset with Ticketmaster. I didn't even know anything about it, of course, because I wasn't selling tickets to anything. I was drinking 40s and skateboarding. But I remember them being very outspoken about Ticketmaster.
Because all the fees and all the service charges and all the things that the artists can't control. And then the fans blame the artist and they are mad at whatever.
Yep.
Right. The venue can't even control it at this point because it's a union venue and the union made a deal with Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And but go union anyway. Still go union. Still go theaters.
We need unions now more than ever.
Yeah.
If it's the theater, the last time we were in Milwaukee and we were on tour, we did, and I want to call it either the Riverfront,
nope,
the Palace, the Fox, something like that.
The River View, I think, is the one. It was probably right there on Wisconsin Avenue. I think I saw the Marquee. That is a beautiful old theater. They might be the Majestic or something. All I know is that it seats 4,000 people.
Wow.
And they're not going to put and you'll be happy to know, they're not going to put 4,000 people there at the end of April.
Hey, if you're rich and you don't love germs or other people, this sounds like the show for you.
And if you're vaccinated, which would be lovely.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You know, when I was going to go on the road.
Then you're worry free.
Yeah, I was going to go on the road. I literally ordered 800 masks to give away because I didn't want people to not wear them.
That's great.
Oh, nice.
And now people will be like, we're all vaccinated. We don't need your mask. But people are going to keep wearing masks.
I think people will keep wearing masks. I think that's
for the airport.
For the airports, for sure. And here's a fun fact is that the actual flu was down so much this year because of masks and social distancing. So a lot of people didn't die because of the flu. People busy dying because of COVID. Very sad.
Yes.
But the flu, nobody died because of it. And I'm going to wear a mask. I know that through at least June. And I'll probably always wear a mask in It feels like I've been tricked into it by it, but that's me investing in Reynolds rep. So I do have a tinfoil hat theory that they want us all to stay home.
Yeah.
Well,
whoever they want to stay home.
I have not had any kind of a bug. Like, you just don't get sick in general. I'm going to wear masks.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Well, I feel like the combination of hand washing, which is the kind of thing, sadly, I really didn't think that much about.
Yeah. True.
I would, of course, do it when normal.
Yeah, after going to the bathroom or after if my hands were dirty.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, getting something weird on your hands. But other than that, it was like, then it became that thing where we all turned in lightly OCD with very good reason. And I don't think that goes away after when you are made to be conscious.
Sure.
Like, I keep thinking about that, those first couple months where we were wiping down our groceries. Like,
yeah.
I just remember standing in the kitchen with the Clorox wipes, with a cereal box. Mm-hmm. Like, crazy, not
even
actually proven to be needed.
Yeah.
But still.
And I know prior to that, I always had my fingers in my damn face. I had my mouth, I was rubbing my eyes.
Pardon me while I touch my face.
It was so fun to watch. It was like being at a party. I haven't seen that for years. You touched your face. That was beautiful.
Oh, so great. You know what? And I'm sober, so I can do this. I can touch my nose without even looking at it.
Let's hear that.
Even though I'm looking at the camera,
Jackie.
I just love that this really, it is the beginning of the end, though. I think that's really nice. It's great to hear you have your first shot.
Yeah.
Love it. Anytime someone says that, I'm elated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine who's actually been working on the cure for AIDS for the last 35 years and making no cure, but making some dent. And I talked to her and they pulled her off of it last a year ago, December, to work on January, I think, to work on COVID. And she got the Pfizer one back in end of August, early September as a test. And then she would take her own blood and look at the antibodies.
Oh, wow.
And
I bet she's smart. She sounds like she's maybe smarter than me.
Yeah, I think she's got some chops. She's got some science chops.
Yeah,
science chops.
Yeah, but you know me. Yeah. I know the streets. My ear is to the curb.
That's what I've always heard about you, Christopher Fairbanks.
Yeah, I don't have.
Oh, like you're a street guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant like I know the streets of my town.
Yeah,
there's Sunset, and off of Sunset is Alvarado.
What about the back of your hand? Have you guys looked at that recently? Holy smokes, do I know it. I know it.
Mine's wrinkly and old lady-ish.
It's I am on TikTok now. Speaking of old ladiness,
what happened?
Dancing, lip syncing.
What are you doing? You're doing the dances my niece does?
No, though I do. I've decided that I got for Christmas. I got Animal Crossing, and I have a lot of different reactions, and so I've decided that that's what's going to be my personality on stage now. Is me just doing Animal Crossing reactions? Viva!
What's that? Can you
ding? Anyway, flourish. And
I only know about it because there's a comedy show that is set inside the world of Animal Crossing. So I've seen
Jenny
the little
Yang.
Cute version of me doing stand-up but I still don't know about the game. Is it like Sims?
It is like Sims, except for it's better looking. And it is so epically, it's Nintendo. So It's essentially a dollhouse. You have an island. You get to decorate it and terraform it, and you have neighbors and you get to meet them. And it is incredibly soothing. And the graphics are so gorgeous that I literally turned to Andy and I said, look at the sunset. We have windows. We have an outdoors that we could.
Does it have other life things? Like, can you get audited and divorced and everything in it too?
No.
What about the hard times?
Yeah, is there hard times in this game?
You're talking about Starview Valley, which is another game that is exactly like Animal Crossing, but has more drama. And I just did a Dork Forest about Star. I think it's called Starview Valley, and it was hilarious. It turns out the mayor is sleeping with the carpenter lady, and neither one of them are married, but for some reason there's secrecy. And
because that's the essence of romance.
Finally. finally figured it out. The essence of romance that I've realized with because I've, you know, here's the thing about quarantine is that I have never spent this much time home in 35 years. I have been married for now 14, 15 years. Amazing. And have I spent have I spent this much time with another person? Like this the whole time? No. And so, but it's been exciting. And I've realized that because he's better at almost everything, I would say. And but one of the things he's I've taken up something that I've decided to call affection plagiarism, where he'll do something nice for me. And then later I'll remember it and think, I bet you he would like it if I did that for him. And it turns out that might be what a successful relationship might be.
Wait, is that the secret to romance?
It might be.
Copying?
Copying, completely cribbing off of his sheet.
Isn't he catching you? Because he'd be like, well, I just did this for you yesterday.
Trixie.
You're stealing my...
Exactly.
Stealing.
It turns out he doesn't mind it. He doesn't mind being hugged. Or when I go into the kitchen, I say, would you like something to drink?
Yeah. I guess when you do nice things for people, they rarely are asking what is the motivation.
No. He actually is such a good guy that he has. I assume he doesn't have any motivation besides that he likes me. And my motivation is a little more complicated than that because I genuinely like him and love him, of course. But it's also, what am I supposed to be doing? So, I may not
be. What's my line right now?
Well, I know you are always comfortable with him because as I recall being in your place, you had two computers facing each other or the computers were back to back.
So
you were
set up
facing each other in an office situation.
Like a sounds cube like, situation.
Is it still like that?
You're playing office?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we like to gossip over by the water heater.
Okay, so that's a sign that things have always been fine.
Here's what we built.
Till you microwave fish. Yeah. And all hell breaks
hot
lips.
Tuna.
Who ate my Yoplait? This garage room that I'm in, we had this added onto the garage they finished it last April. And so it's we're very lucky. There are three different rooms to hide from each other and have Zoom events.
Sure.
Because he teaches, he designs video games for a living. And then he also has another part-time job where he teaches at a tech school, the New York Film Academy. He teaches game design and super fun and made him eligible for the vaccine. So,
I should have been a teacher.
Well, you could just volunteer. Someone asked me if I wanted to volunteer to deliver things to the homeless. And I was like, I've been available to do that anytime the last you can send me on errands. I'm the youngest of six. I was born to run errands for people.
Hey, go downstairs and get that thing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the youngest job always.
Yep. It's like, is there anything in it for me? Eventually, when I was about 13, my brother would send me like 3/4 of a mile to get him a soda because we didn't have any soda in the house. He's like, if you go down to the gas station and get me a soda, I'll buy you one. And so when I was like 11 or 12, I would do it for my soda. And then I would desperately try not to drink my soda by the time I was home. And then I handed him his soda. And that's the end of that story. It's great.
Well, I'm just glad to hear you delivered that soda because that's what that was the agreement.
That was the social agreement. He had given me a dollar, so I better not just be pocketing. I could have just pocketed the extra 50. Anyway, go ahead.
Jackie, behind you, is that a vision board? And if so, may we see it? Yeah.
Please.
Or you don't have to share it.
Oh. Or is this your pilot script?
There might be sultry photos of...
Here's what's happening, you guys. You guys are going to see the vision board.
Yes,
there is.
It is.
It is a vision board. And like this is the career corner, you guys.
Oh,
you want to be on NPR? Jack?
Look at all those stations.
You can do that.
Or BBC.
What do you want to do for the BBC? I see that logo.
I would like a special. I would like to write things. Mm-hmm. I would like to be a cartoon voice for some of these programs.
Oh, that's
Steven Universe?
I would love to do that as well.
Yeah.
Cartoon voices.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
It's very cool.
It is so cool.
So, and then over here is my family. I would love to see them again. You guys.
Yes, yes.
How much? On your vision board.
Photos of the family as a reminder.
Dare to dream, Jackie. Yeah.
I'm daring to dream. I would also like to sit in first class up here. Did you see this on the Delta first class?
I like how your vision board is a very attainable thing because people tend to get a little lofty. But just
she's a realist.
Yeah, I'd like to see my family
voiceover work.
And are you kidding?
There's a horse. There's a horse on that vision board. Yeah, I like seeing it. Yeah.
I drew that horse because I couldn't find a picture of a horse, and then a picture of a dog. Get this, we got a dog.
The vision board is coming to fruition.
I should get it off the. Gordy the dog is with us.
Put something else.
Is that a blue
there.
Whale, Jackie? Don't wish for a whale, for Christ's sake.
It's a sailboat.
Okay. What are you, the guy from Jewel of the Nile? I couldn't remember Romancing the Stone, so I mentioned the less popular sequel.
I would like to be more bendy. Do you guys see that? Do you guys see that? I would like to be more, and I would like to get my wind up. Wind up.
You mean you want to start stretching?
I got to get my wind up.
Also working on my footwork because I'm now an old-timey boxer. Okay.
Well, yeah, you got to work on that footwork if you're going to be on TikTok. Kids want to see
Jackie,
you move.
I'll just stand up. I've cut old stand-up clips and done one-minute stand-up clips. And it turns out... Yeah.
You posting
it's so
them,
much work. Yeah. It's so much work that when anyone doesn't like it, I literally follow them back to there and block them. I'm like, I spent an hour on that clip. You can fuck right off.
Yeah, you're right. I should do what you're doing. Can I borrow your vision board? You can take off your family from it, of course. That'd be weird if I
said. I want to say, though, thank you for sharing your vision board, because if you somehow spotted Chris my vision board behind me, I would be like, get away, because I had things on there where I was like a cherry tree. I was very vague. I kind of didn't know what I was doing, and then there was a picture of Philip Seymour Hoffman. I saw it recently when I moved, and I was like, I think I need to get rid of this thing. It was a little too I almost think I was doing more of a design page for a room I wanted to move into as opposed to actually goals for myself. But that's very private.
Yeah, I went out on a limb, and I'm like, I should not have brought up the vision board.
I will say this is that because Bamford has been trying to get me to do a vision board for 20 odd years. Ron Funches, I went on his Getting Better, and he was like, just do it. And I did it, and it was actually a super emotional experience because I decided not to lie. I was like, why would I lie on my own fucking piece of tag board?
You're here. I like this stuff. Here.
Nobody's looking at it. Though I will say that Andy saw it so much that he finally said, do you want a dog?
Oh, that's
great. And I
said,
I do want a dog, but we've never gotten a dog because we've always had this iguana, and the iguana passed away like 2 years ago, 23 years old. Yeah.
So sorry.
Well, that's fine. Andy was holding his hand when he died.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
And it's called a hand?
It looked like a fucking hand to me. It was. He looked like a little man.
Yeah.
He looked like a little man.
Sure.
Yeah.
He iguana. Did. Little insurance salesman.
He was holding his hand.
That is pretty cute.
Andy did put a shamrock hat on him once in February. Could not have been more furious.
I'll never forget the day my sister and I made a tiny coffin for my frog and buried him in the backyard. It's good to go through human-like ceremonies.
A ritual.
Passing.
Yeah, sure, what the heck? Absolutely. A little bit of a ritual?
Yeah.
And then so Andy said I could get a dog. And then he said, but you have to be the one to pull the trigger and say, we're going to get the dog. And so... And now we have Gordy the dog, who we got at the pound 3 weeks ago.
Was there pressure to get a dog that looked like your drawing?
No.
Does that look like a dachshund to me? Did you get a dachshund?
Sorry, that dog doesn't match.
He's just a little, he's actually some sort of kind of a Chihuahua Pekingese. We had a choice of Chihuahua mixes or Pitbull mixes. Yeah. And I have never had a dog before. Andy's had dogs his entire life.
Yeah, neither have I.
And I was like, I would like a smaller dog in case wrestling must be involved. Yeah. I would like to be taller and stronger than whatever dog.
Always win the dog wrestling match. Yeah.
Right.
That's
and
a good call.
So Gordy is 8 years old and he is a gentleman. He is incredibly, what a good sport. He seems, we've only had him 3 weeks, so he has the potential to be very bossy. But I think that that might just be a dog trait where, and he's only had one other family and the family moved, and he's 8 years old. And so he's fit in pretty well. We have a backyard, so he likes to go for, when I was doing the road all the time, I used to do this thing called hotel art, where I would show the art in my hotel room.
I was on an episode of that.
You were.
At the Airbnb. Near Tibet.
Yes, you did a great job.
Thank you. Some of my better
work. So now I'm just doing Gordy Patrol. Here's what, I don't have any dog materials. Kilmartin was telling me that everybody got a quarantine dog and now everybody has dog material, but I do have a question. Do dogs not have, is it just Gordy or do dogs not have butt cheeks? Like, I'm walking this dog and I'm gonna stare at his asshole, I guess, for the next 10 years.
It's just kind of the whole. There's no, you know, like with a rhinoceros or something, there's a human-like bulbous ass. And I've always appreciated that. With a dog, it's just a tail covering up an exit hole. There's
but
no
usually,
cheeks.
And depending on the breed of dog, the tail usually stays down unless there's something, some action taking place. Yeah. So it's not like
Gordy
cats.
Is happy. So he's tail up, wagging his whole butt. And so I'm just staring into his butt for the whole walk.
Yeah,
I
guess
that's fine.
You'll have to get used to it.
You know what? What I'd say is speed up. Get in front of Gordy a little bit. Then you can change your view.
I was like, why don't you look at my butthole? Why don't you do that?
Yeah, check this shit out.
Check out this rear end, buddy. And see how happy.
Get a little competitive.
Yeah, see how happy I am.
That's one of the things I loved having cats my whole life and the dogs that I've been around. But looking at their butthole constantly was never my favorite. It's just the thing you have to get used to.
I think you're both saying it as if it's required. I swear to God, I've looked at both of my dog's buttholes maybe 3 times total. You don't have to look at
it's
it. You can look away.
So
look
you
away.
Sense
there's other
when
stuff
the,
to look at.
When the BH is going to be present and you just look at something else.
And then you're just like,
I'm hypnotized.
Mine was just a passing comment. I'm just hoping. I was just wondering about butt cheeks. I don't know a lot
I'm
about.
I'm fixated on it now. So your passing comment has become my new passion.
And now, let's talk about other things. I drew a horse and I cut out a picture of a sailboat.
Do you want a sailboat? Have you sailed?
What Jackie wants is to be a billionaire.
Yes.
That's clear. She wants to dominate the stock market. She wants to discover a vein of gold.
If you guys had $1 billion, and I have been thinking about this because of Jeff Bezos' wife, and I was thinking, if I had $1 billion, I live in Van Nuys. I can't have a horse.
Right.
No.
Really would not go with our 966 square foot house.
No, you'd have to keep it in Malibu.
Yeah, and the sailboat. So I want to pet a horse and maybe ride one and maybe learn to ride. And I wouldn't mind learning to sail, which can be done if you volunteer when we're back in, you know, being social. You can volunteer to crew on other people's sailboats here in Long Beach and stuff, and you learn to sail that way.
There's a lot to it. I've sailed a few times and with people that knew what they were doing. And it's horrible. I mean, all of a sudden the wind changes. You have to move. You have to untie everything and move the sail. And it's a bunch of people running around. There's poles. You could get knocked into the water and then killed by dolphins.
I was on a catamaran in the Atlantic once, and it tipped over. And the guy that I was sailing with, he knew how to sail. And he said, what we do is we climb up onto the back of the thing and then we both grab a rope and we lean into it. And using our weight, we pop it back up. And I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The rope that I grabbed was not a rope. I grabbed a bungee cord. So I was like a tree falling over into the ocean again. And he laughed for almost 40 seconds.
You fell in the ocean?
I always fall in the ocean. I am not a gazelle. This is, there's the illusion of, I actually on the inside, think that I'm much more athletic, taller, better looking, stronger, faster. I'm the $6 million woman. I think I'm blonde. I have no idea what I look like. So Zoom has been quite a revelation for me.
Zoom is a pretty big disappointment, I think, for all of us, for in terms of what we look like, in terms of our timing, which is that's the thing that's really going to, when we're all back together again, mm-hmm. will like interrupting continue? Will it not starting, stopping? I mean, it's the fucking worst conversation.
I think, yeah, we're all going to have impeccable timing now because we're all paying attention to it.
Just hypersensitive and exactly when
I'm sorry, were you about to talk? I'm just passing by. I don't know you. Oh, okay.
I don't know, but I get the sense that you've got a good idea. So I'm going to hold back.
Yeah, I didn't know I had aged until this year because of all the Zoom. I don't have a lot of mirrors, but yeah, right. Zoom, I don't really have any, leave it to me.
And you could put that, you could slide that thing to remove all sense of aging, to actually remove your nose. It just gets rid of your face entirely.
Really? There's still
the Voldemort screen. It's just two holes, there's like a snake, or your nose was.
Snake filter.
Yes.
And so Ophira Eisenberg has the greatest bit about Zoom, or did about 9 months ago. It was about her four-year-old child who was acting up. She put him in a corner, and literally after 20 or 30 seconds, she said that he yelled, unmute me. Such a great line. I thought I'd get
that
a bigger.
Didn't really happen.
Oh, it that better have happened. Come on. Four-year-olds repeat all kinds of things.
There was somebody that said there's a kid that said that believes he's watched so many YouTube videos that he ends every interaction with family members by saying like and subscribe.
Oh, that's the best.
See, that I don't believe. And that that's just a well-crafted joke.
Look, nothing's believable. Yeah, I'm just lying. Nothing is believable anymore. We're not around each other. The natural hilariousness of life has become doubtful, you know.
There is trouble. It's I do feel bad for the people with kids who are themselves up. There's all these people that are beating themselves up, and I'm like, kids still alive. And did you ever spend a year with your parents? No.
Oh God. No.
These kids are gonna grow up, and they'll be like, no, I spent like a year and a half they were right there the whole time.
Yep.
And this is another bit I'm working on. I don't have any conversation, you guys. So
this is what we need you to do.
Okay, fair enough. Fill the time, Jeff. Yep. Anyway, so Jackie Cation content provider. So when I was a kid, I remember when they invented the term quality time. It was in the 70s, and my stepmother of six children, I genuinely remember her saying to me, we can't afford quality time. We can only afford quantity time. And that's what you'll get some nuggets. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And because she did try to artificially create, she was like, quality time. Okay. None of you ever see your father, because he literally was like, I got married so I wouldn't have to raise these kids. And she made him take us each to breakfast on a Sunday. She's like, take each kid to breakfast on us 6 weeks in a row, and then they'll get an hour and a half with you, and that'll be fun.
And they won't be drug addicts.
Right. They'll have quality time.
Quality
and
time.
Too late. Some of my brothers already drug addicts. And
but then they're nice and high at breakfast, and that's fun too.
Yeah. That is fun. My father, I was the youngest, and so I was probably eight or 9 years old, and he took me to breakfast, and I remember him being visibly bored.
That is so great.
I remember being in the car with my dad, because he was being a fireman. He would be on for 3 days, off for four days or whatever. So my mom worked every day. So he would, when he was home, it was like he was the housewife. It was really funny. So you'd just be I was just always in the car with him, running errands, going to Yardbirds. It seemed like that was the only thing we ever did, was go to the hardware store. And I was always just like, you know, it's good times, and I'm getting attention and whatever. And I remember one time, my dad would just go, okay, that's enough talking now.
shut you down.
Yeah.
Just, you can't keep asking me whatever question comes into your head. Just, that's enough.
Yeah, we didn't do that at all with my family. I think I was close to my parents, but we didn't even talk during dinner. You just silently eat as fast as you can, and then you go to your section of the house. One time I stayed with Matt Pronger's parents during one of the first Bridgetown festivals. I slept in their basement because there wasn't enough of a hotel budget for me, but I had fun. And they had a time during the day when they would sit in the living room and talk about their day. And it was like a planned thing. At 4 o'clock, we're going to talk. And I thought that maybe I was in trouble for coming home late or something. But no, they just sat in the living room and had a very healthy, loving talk. And I'm like, what? This is so foreign to me. Because it was planned, yeah. And I was nervous for it. And they asked me about my day as a visiting family member.
Wow.
It was really a healthy thing. But
My family was like that at dinner. That's when everybody was asked about their day. That's when everybody complained about their individual jobs, teachers, whatever. And then we would also sometimes just sit there after dinner and just keep on sitting at the table laughing and making jokes. Because I think my dad was from this gigantic Irish family where basically that's what they did.
Yeah. Right.
That was kind of like the set. That's how we learned, because my mom didn't really have a family. So we just kind of did what my dad's family did. Yeah. And right. It was really lovely.
It's so
it was
weird.
Very yeah. good.
It's so weird. The family that you adopt of like the sort of the different customs. We sat at the table. My dad would literally go around the table and you had I'm really good at open mic because of it, because you had a minute and a half to make it interesting.
Then it's moving on.
And my brother Russ always nailed it. It was very irritating. And he was like, how come he always gets to tell his stories? Like, he's got the best pitch. And
I'm remembering that they had me put on shows, usually puppet shows or something, and I would hide behind the table and do a performance, and that was planned. So maybe we all have our version of it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want to make it sound like my parents were unattentive. I did puppet shows.
Well, but you're comparing it to the Brongers. And that's what they were doing was very high level.
There was
borderline
classical
Quaker.
Music playing in the background during this meeting.
Yeah. they were doing Quaker shit.
Yeah. That feels real strong.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was healthy.
Highly religious. Feels very Judeo-Christian.
No, I think we talk some smack about the big D.
They got some comics together to talk shit on God. Let's do this. It's the Brongers. Talk circle. Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, see, there's an example, right? That was classic.
And then I'm gonna have a stomach ache about
you,
that.
It was
for
like
half
you
an hour
having a
show.
Polite contest, and you both tied. I'm sorry.
I was just having.
Now I'm sorry.
I was having memories that both of you were there for, thinking about Bridgetown comedy festivals, where at the time I was like, oh, I shouldn't be here. I'm too old and I'm a guitar comic or whatever weird shit I was deciding about myself. And I'm literally sitting in my house like, remember the time we were all at the warehouse party afterwards and then a train came? Like,
yeah.
Just like, remember the breakfast where then we all ended up being in the same restaurant at the same time? Like, as if it were the most gorgeous golden year memories.
Right. Like we were on Mykonos and it was a threesome. None of that was happening.
I miss everything. I was invited to a party the other day in my neighborhood because it was all a group of friends that are all service industry and they've had their vaccinations. And I was like, I thought it would be like Thanksgiving with them where we'd be in the backyard. But I showed up and it was an apartment full of people high-fiving and hugging because they had their vaccinations. And I was like, wow, I was horrified and I didn't go in. I felt like a weirdo, but it's so funny how not used to it I am.
We just all got used to like, because literally now, when I got the shot, I was like, well, now there's no excuse not to go anywhere that I've wanted to go to this whole year. But now I'm scared.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it turns out I hate change. I didn't want it to change this way. And now I don't want it to change this way.
Right.
I mean, I'm glad for the new administration.
Of course.
I'm very happy about.
And it's good that there's a choice. But I'm Jackie, I'm just like you, where I'm in this house. And early on in this quarantine, I was just like, this could last 6 months. This could last 4 years. We're going to get through this and we're not going to go crazy. We're not going to go crazy. So I have that thing now where I'm so braced that it's probably going to take me a good 3-4 months just to be like, yeah, you know, even if I'm vaccinated or whatever, just to kind of be like, we're doing it. We're socializing again. I mean, the couple times people would come over, it was really nice for a little while. And then I was just like, I have it. Now I have it. Yep. Great. Now I fucking have it.
Yeah. Before quarantine, you had me for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Now you have me for 15 to 20. Like I literally have met Maria and my friend Carmen and other people outside. And at about 15 or 20 minutes, I'm like, all right.
Yeah,
we're done sitting around. I can't offer you anything to eat or drink. Yeah. You got to go.
And me too. But I like that everyone understands. There's no, it's like, I got to go. And everyone's like, I understand.
They really do. Everybody is pretty sane about the whole thing.
Yeah, no one judged me for not wanting to go into that apartment. They understood.
That's cool.
Well, especially if they're all vaccinated and you're not.
Yeah.
That's like, what? That's no
good. Yeah, I don't think that means it's safe for me. I think it can still, you can still have it on you.
They can still carry it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay, good. I'm glad.
Also, I think don't pre-celebrate, like the whole point of like, wait, get your vaccination, get your second vaccination, then go celebrate when there's like a real thing. But if you pre-celebrate or start making, it's the same people, like the people that never stopped going places and never wore masks or whatever. It's just like, this was a real accomplishment, you know, like quarantining, staying home, doing what was best. Yes, it was a choice. Some people didn't make it because they're fucking selfish, whatever, but I did. So it's like,
Don't stop now
that we're at the 11th hour, I'm not going to go be like, oh, you're vaccinated. Let's hang out, because it would be so infuriating to get it truly at like 2 minutes
at the last midnight
on the vaccination clock. I would go insane.
Getting sick while in line for the shot.
Do you guys know, did they have vaccines for the 1918 flu, the Spanish flu, they called it? Did they vaccinate for that? Was that a vaccine?
I think they did. I mean, I think eventually they did.
Because I know that I saw an old timey ad where they wanted everyone to wear masks, and everyone in 1918 was like, fuck you.
Yeah,
we don't even have cloth.
We've always been like this. Yeah.
I could only ask my great grandma, and she unfortunately passed at 101 years old.
Of COVID.
Yeah, it was very sudden. She saw three centuries. Born in the late 1800s, lived into the 2000s.
Wow.
But yeah, I think she knew about that Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm. But we'll never know.
What
was it? Your dad's mom?
My dad's grandma. Yeah.
Your dad's grandma. Yeah. Maybe someone on his side of the family knows.
I kind of want to ask.
We could just Google it. I'll be over here. I've been meaning to Google it for like 2 days.
Oh, anyone listening to this right now has Googled it. And I will get the answer on Twitter in a week.
Yeah. Or they're screaming it right now. Yeah. That's just, the joy of podcast, listening to podcasts, is
that
knowing
is
something that no one will listen to you.
The Dork Forest, I get a 3-5 paragraph almost every week. I just did one with Kyle Ayers about St. Vincent, which I thought was a thrift store. It turns out it's a band.
Oh, yes.
So
it's a
lady.
A woman.
Yeah.
It's a person.
It's music I enjoy. I like St.
That's
Vincent.
That's what Kyle Ayers said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
but it's also the name of my grammar school and high school.
Oh, wow.
And local parish. So, you know. She wasn't the first.
All one building?
No, but sprinkled about the town.
Have you guys seen that the church that Bob Hope's Infidelity built over on Lancashire?
Yeah.
And Moore Park?
Yeah.
Karen knows a lot about Bob Hope. And it's like
that's my area. To look alike adjacent, baby. Ask me anything.
That is, there used to be a steak place over there called the Steak Joint with a Y. And I used to drink too much over there.
Of course you did.
I pretended, because I lived on Whipple. I lived one block over, and I pretended that I was going out for dinner every night, like Rockefeller. And it turns out I would sit at the bar and just drink. There was a guy at the bar who told me that church, which literally is the size of a cathedral, is every time he would have an affair, Bob Hope would donate to that church. And it has an auditorium and a basketball court and a curate's house.
Wait, as a
and the whole front of it has that it's like a rococo front that's this insane sculptive, like it almost looks like something that would be in Madrid.
Right. But it's gorgeous.
But it's right there on Moore Park.
It's right there on Moore Park in Lancashire.
So Bob Hope, as a version of confession, would donate when he felt bad for his infidelities?
He had a deal with his wife because his wife was Catholic. And
she was in on it. Okay.
She was totally in on it. And also across from his compound, there was an empty lot that she supposedly always threatened to build a convent. And then they both died. Mm-hmm. And then their children were like, this piece of property is worth a gajillion dollars. Let me sell it. And so it came to pass.
Wow.
I actually got to go to, and so it came to pass. I got to go to, I got to go to Bob Hope's house because I did do the very last Bob Hope Young Comedian special.
Oh, cool.
You did?
In 1995. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. This, and I did it with everyone on it. Margaret Smith, Sue Kolinsky. It was everybody was 15 years older than me and had been doing stand-up and late night sets for 20 years longer than me.
Right.
And then I was just kind of there like, hey, what's up? Like, it was hilarious. I clearly was like, it just kind of shoved in there. It was really funny, but everyone was so nice. Margaret and Sue were so nice to me because I was like, oh, they're going to hate my guts for not being like, basically, who am I to get this? And they were so lovely.
Good.
Every single comic that was on it was awesome. Alan Thicke was on it. Phyllis Diller was the co-host.
What?
It was epic. And we got to go, like, I got to meet and talk to Phyllis Diller for the day as we shot this Young Comedian special. It was really cool. And but one of the things we did, which was like for like a promo shoot where they took photos or whatever, and the outfit I'm wearing makes no sense. It's like, it's one of those things where clearly I was struggling with a drinking problem. I couldn't get like good tights. I couldn't get the right color tights to match with the skirt that I picked. You know, there was like that kind of stuff. It was like, Karen.
Yeah.
But tough. 90s. Difficulty.
90s were hard anyway. I don't feel like early stand-up shows, there was enough costuming input.
No.
My premium blend, I clearly did my own hair.
Yeah.
And the person who did my makeup usually did drag queens.
Yeah.
And I wore a blouse.
I wore Eddie Gosling's wife's I didn't have a button-up shirt, and I took out the Velcro shoulder pads. And
oh, my God.
But you can't tell. It's just a silk shirt. But
you
can't
tell.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah.
On the Buster's Happy Hour, which was my first like full set, VH1 really broke so much fresh young comedy in the 90s. I had the same exact thing, Jackie, and I wonder if it was the same makeup artist. When she was done with my face, I used to do this in my act, but I truly looked like a Romanian sex worker. It was like purple. I had purple, blue, and like yellow eyeshadow. Where
too
I was
bright.
Like, "What
too
did
bright.
You do?" It was insanity.
How is anyone going to pay attention to the joke hole when my eyes are
when
sparkly?
This shit is going on.
I was so stressed and scared to be on TV for my premium blend that I developed a cherry tomato sized blemish right by my joke hole. It was right by my mouth, and they just covered it with makeup, but it was still casting a shadow down my chin. And I was so worried about that the whole time. The whole time I was doing stand-up is
John Liner's.
It's horrible.
John Liner's comedy on the road.
You can't tell about the zit, and I swear you can't tell I'm wearing a blouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
John Liner. So John Liner's comedy on the road. I, for some reason, was dressed as the ghetto child that I was, where I was literally wearing my brother's suit coat that I had to roll up the sleeves. That is that is a clip that is on my Twitter feed from my pinned tweet, because for some reason I found that footage and I'm like, this joke isn't very good. I look ridiculous, and let's put it up.
Yeah,
I need content, you guys.
You did. So are you transferring stuff?
Patience content
from VHS. Then that was on VHS, right?
Yeah, yeah. I brought it to a guy who was willing to. I was like, "This is going to cost so much money," and he was like, "No, like $35." And I was like, "Oh, I have $35."
Yeah.
So
I should do that too. I have many tapes, but then I would be afraid that I would watch it and think, "Oh, I don't want anyone to watch me be bad at something."
I think I have Karen Kilgariff on Late Friday, the thing that Lisa Leingang booked.
Right? Oh, that's right.
But the audio sucks for some reason.
Well, I mean, I wasn't the greatest. I hosted that and I did it with Mary Lynn doing Girls Guitar.
Yeah.
Which every once in a while I'll see a clip of that and I'm like, oh, I'm glad that got captured at some point.
Yeah.
That was such a strange, fleeting time that it almost is like, did we do that?
And you,
it's so crazy.
Did you do a pilot for that also? I think that's what, in the Laugh Stop in Houston, there was one VHS tape, and I didn't know you yet, Karen, and there was a Girls Guitar Club.
That's a short film that Ruben Fleischer shot, okay. And he went on to be a very successful director. I think he made Zombieland.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
And he's made a bunch of other stuff and done stuff for TV. But when this was before he ever made anything and he just wanted to do stuff, and he was friends with Mary Lynn, and I met him through Mary Lynn, and he was like, can we please just do it? It's just, you know, it'll be good for promotion and da da da. So he basically like forced us to write this kind of script that isn't really a script. And it was, so we had the Girls Guitar Club short film that is one of the strangest.
I loved it. I'm not kidding. I watched it more than once because it was the only tape and there was a little TV VCR in the green room. And I was that guy had me headlining way before I should have been.
Same.
And I'd be so nervous. Same. And he was such a fan of you guys. And
was that guy still booking stuff?
Mark Babbitt. No, I think he went in the hotel business. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He was the best, though. He really was so kind and like,
to me,
that's
to
the
you
story.
And me,
I have.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot.
The week I went there to headline, every night I would get off stage and there would be Houston comics that would be in the bar kind of standing around like to let me know they weren't totally on board with what I was doing. And I was just like, I don't care. And that there was the time that the guy came up and was like, yeah, you did okay. Yeah, that was fine. It was like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what do you do for a living? And he goes, I'm a balloon comic. And then I was just like, well, okay. It's nice to meet you.
I'm doing so many Zoom shows that I'm actually working more space work. You guys, I just.
Oh, what is that? A swivel chair? Or are you hovering? That's amazing.
It's a swivel chair. I will sometimes do some space work on the Zoom. Sometimes I'll get real close to the camera. And then other times I'll stand up like I'll pretend that I'm doing stand-up comedy.
Have you ever done one of these shows, Jackie, where you don't have a mic and you suddenly are very, very aware of your hands and what you should do?
Yes. It's like sometimes when the mic has gone out. And you can either keep the mic in your hand and then 220 people know that you need it as a crutch.
Yeah.
Or you could just put it back in the mic stand and just open yourself up.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah.
It always takes me like 5 to 10 minutes to decide to do that. But many times, the mic has broken for some reason and I keep it in front of my face because it's my security blanket.
Right. And it on Conan, they always wanted you to use a lav. And you're like, it's hard enough being on television. If I could just have a mic as well, it'll make me feel a little bit better about myself.
Oh, they asked me on Conan, do you want a mic? And I was like, microphone, please. Thank you.
And a stool for no reason. I'm doing 5 to 7 minutes. It can't possibly be needed.
But let me have my props, please.
I need my security blankie. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's good though. I think it's good to use your space and become aware of it. We're going to come out of this so talented, you guys.
Yes, I was going to say to be challenged. I mean, I've done a couple. Jackie, thank you, by the way, for you asked me to do your the comedy shows that you do. And it really does mean a lot to me. I'm always just like, no one wants to hear the dumb tweets that I've tried to pretend were jokes. But
they desperately do.
But well, I want to do it again.
OK.
Someday.
I really do. Allow me to lower the stakes and tell you that my Sunday afternoon show is nothing but essentially 20 to 60 people who have seen me work on the same hour for 11 months.
Yeah.
Literally going, that's a lot tighter, Jackie. It's coming right along.
I'm doing the same thing in a private facility with a stage. I'm saying the same ideas over and over, and some of them still aren't jokes.
Well,
to the same people.
And the people are incredibly supportive. They're very nice. I'm doing 6 guest sets. It started out, I was just doing 1 guest set back last March. Now everybody gets like 7 to 10. I get to hang out with 6 comics I want to hang out with. Actually 5. And then I just let 2 newer people who have emailed me to, because they're comics and they're like, hey, you have a show. Can I do it? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'll put you on the list.
And truly, is it like this?
Yeah,
like
it's just this.
It's just this.
And then there's 60 people and about 12 to 20 of them are unmuted. And so they laugh and can be trusted. And you can say, Ruben, are you getting stoned again? Yeah. Oh, good for you, buddy. And he just blazes up. And
can you see him?
Yeah. They got their cameras on and they got their mics on. And most people are just literally, they're just sitting there watching stand-up comedy laughing. And then the people who are doing their dishes or have their dogs or, you know, the kids or something, they've turned their cameras off. I don't care. It's like they're sitting in the dark in the theater. And if it's loud, they've got their mics off and they're incredibly well-trained. And they all send me $5. That's what it costs. I'm like, send me $5. It just weeds out any sort of Zoom bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because 14-year-olds are being created every day and they're genius.
They're still making those.
Everywhere. All across this land. Mm-hmm. Oh, that doesn't sound bad at all. Okay, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, you're both welcome to do a set this very Sunday at noon.
Noon?
Think about it. Yeah, because it's nice because that's 8 o'clock in London. And 10 o'clock in Switzerland. Yeah, it's like, and it's like 9 a.m.
You want to do it?
Is that part of your BBC vision board to do prime time in London?
Yes, yes. I'm trying to get international. My vision board has voiceover and it has international and it has a Jackie Cation comedy festival that I want to do one day.
Chris, are you going to do it this Sunday at noon?
Yes. I don't believe I'm golfing. I've been golfing nonstop, but not usually on weekends. So,
And you can also bail in the 11th hour. Well, let me lower the... Because Bamford often says yes and then bails. Ron Funches says yes. And then he's like, actually, I'm playing a video game. You know, Baron Vaughn has 2 babies. So,
Does he?
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, like people say yes, and then something might happen where they're, you know, they have to go shovel sand or something. I don't know what they have to do. But it's,
you know, the importance.
Yeah, I don't take it personally. Now, Kilmartin was going to do it and it was at night, but she couldn't do it. She was like, I would normally say yes automatically, but I need to see this Oprah thing. And I was like, what Oprah thing?
The Meghan Markle interview.
It was the Meghan Markle
interview. Did you guys watch that, Meghan Markle, speaking of your BBC visions?
No. Was it like Bridgerton? No. Did they explain about ejaculation?
I've just seen highlights from it, but
how long was it?
It was just more highlights of Oprah's reactions. That's what I've watched.
People have recut it in the most hilarious ways where there's, because it's shot in her Montecito, estate.
Yeah.
I saw a recut where people start sneaking in and it's a scene from a movie that the children know, but I didn't recognize. So it's like they're doing it. And then like the reactions are real of them going like that. And then like there's like a bunch of teenage girls that walk in through the bushes and like, but these bitchy looks on their faces. And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's just like people just keep recutting it in that way.
I would watch that. I actually don't care.
I'm not pro monarchy either. It's just so many people were talking about it that it sounded scandalous.
Well, it's good. It's a good thing to discuss. And then it's just ripe for immediate because it's become that thing where, like, you know, nobody wants to do it about the Super Bowl or the Oscars anymore because we've just done it now so much. But then when something like that comes up, it's like fresh meat for those Twitter parodies.
I want to read about it and whistle down.
And read about it what? And
it's a Bridgerton.
I gotta watch Bridgerton. I've been putting it on.
It's very pretty. It's beautiful. It's very pretty.
It's gorgeously shot. And it's really compelling. I mean, I thought Shonda Rhimes nailed that shit so well. It was great.
Yes.
Except for the one thing where I was just like, can we not have this be the plot?
There's six books. There's nine Bridgerton siblings.
Wow.
Yeah. It's Anthony is A. B is Benedict. C is Chad. That's not true. I forget.
Chadwick.
Chad. You know, Chad Bridgerton. He went to the junior high, but then he left.
It's Colin. Remember Colin? You know. It's Colin. And then it's Daphne. And then it's like Eloise. And then it's... fuck. Okay.
And then fucking, which is one of the other leads.
Yeah. Fuck Bridgerton.
It's a big part of the show. It's like another sibling.
Well, I've never heard it. I'll watch right after we're done.
Give it a shot.
It's fun.
There's
it's
no
fun
way
times.
We've been going an hour and 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
How is that possible?
It's been great.
Because it's Jackie Cation, and that's why we have her.
Wow.
Thanks for having me. It's just great to see you.
It's great
nice
to see you, too.
I always feel like I'm the cop kicking everyone out of the party when I'm like, oh, look at the time. But like we said, you know, during quarantine, you just have people are like, oh, I understand. Mm-hmm. Chris has to get to his Bridgerton and make his chicken parmesan that he's...
I'm busy watching the Great British Pottery Throw.
Oh, it's so good. I love it.
It is good.
Please, is it called the Great British Pottery Throw?
Something. Throw down. That's it. Throw down.
I very much will watch it. If it's anything
HBO Max,
like the baking.
It is not really, but trying. And the best thing on HBO Max actually is a weird sitcom called Ghosts. And it's only 25, 30 minutes. There's only two seasons. And it is about this weird British couple who inherits a mansion and it's fucking haunted and has been. So all the people, like there's six ghosts. One is a caveman. One's a member of Parliament with no pants. And it's adorable.
Is this new or is this from? This sounds
It's new. It's the last 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
Two seasons.
I love it. Is it British?
It's British.
Have you ever heard of the show Beforeigners?
No.
It's, I believe, Swedish or Norwegian. And it is, it's called Beforeigners. I believe it's also HBO Max because it's like HBO Europe.
Yeah.
And it is such a good plot. Like it's a cop procedural, but it's also almost like sci-fi where people who are, it's similar to what you're just saying. There's like Cro-Magnons start showing up. It's Cro-Magnons, people from the Cro-Magnons, people that are from like the 1200s and then people from the 1600s.
And
they all start appearing in the sea.
Funny.
And then they have to go get rescued and brought. And then suddenly they're the new immigrants of the country. And it's so brilliantly done. And I loved it. It was such a good show.
Beforeigners. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Beforeigners.
That sounds amazing.
I'm just watching 80s really action good. Movies. I've become such a dad.
Wow.
Except no offspring.
Well, look.
There's nothing wrong with 80s. Yeah, 80s action movies are actually quite lovely.
Yes, and, they'll get you through the night.
I want to see Private Benjamin again, but it turns out it's $12 on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And oh, no.
I was like, I can't do that.
I know.
Don't be ridiculous. I might as well buy the DVD.
Yeah, I keep thinking of old movies I want to see, just assuming they'll be free, and they are blockbuster prices.
That's right.
When Jackie, is that show that you mentioned in Milwaukee or any other
shows? In Milwaukee,
shows?
April 23rd. And I'm going to, two times I had to cancel doing my new album.
That was when I was going to do this theater. I wonder if it was the same date.
Yeah.
Did you book it in the last couple weeks?
This morning.
Okay. Well, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. And I told him, I said, because I just, I was like, just tell people that you're willing to work at the end of April. And yeah. all of a sudden there was work at the end of April. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Now you got to do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Really quick. Let's make this a real plug sure. because if people want to go see you, yeah. it's Milwaukee, April 23rd.
Right. Two shows.
Two shows. And the name of that company is
The
Laughing Tap. Probably has a website.
Right. As do I. And it will eventually be up on JackieKesha.com. And if you want to come to my Zoom shows, sign up for my email list, which is harder to get on than it is to get off. Because there's two unsubscribe buttons on every single email.
But very considerate.
Right. Well, and so because I'm sending them every week now of Zoom shows, which feels a lot. But if you want to know about the Zoom shows, join the email list. It's on JackieKesha.com. Figure it out. But then easy to get off when you get bored.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad you're getting back out there. You are fun to watch do stand up, and I will never forget how much better than me you did in Temecula. We did a brewery in your hometown, Karen. And
it looked like Mario Kart. It looked like the pipes.
Yeah, yeah. It was very steampunk.
Yeah.
But you were so great. But when you got off, just like me, you were like, I feel like I didn't do well. And I'm like, I just saw you do amazingly.
At the gin place, right?
Yes.
Vaulted ceilings. That'll do that.
Yeah.
In Petaluma, not Temecula.
Yeah, Petaluma.
I'm sorry. I always.
That's okay.
It's the Ecula and the Umula. I always miss those up in biology class.
I understand.
Too.
And vaulted ceilings will always affect our self-esteem.
Yes, yes.
That's
got to be low and I got to be backed into the corner. Otherwise, I don't feel comfortable.
Give me bricks.
Right. Comedy in the Round.
Yes. If you haven't seen Jackie Cation do stand-up comedy, which if you're a listener of Do You Need a Ride, you know Jackie. You love Jackie. Yeah. But if you haven't, go to JackieCation.com. Don't be afraid to go visit her on TikTok.
Yeah. And go to her Instagram. She's reposting a lot of her early work, and it's very enjoyable.
Yep. Support Jackie in all her ways. And then, of course, please listen to the hilarious and very inside comedy podcast, The Jackie and Lori Show, where two lady comics talk about being comics.
I like it. Thank you for being
Anything
here.
Anything else, Jack?
Jackie.
Oh, if you guys are still doing My Favorite Murder, I got to tell you about my Uncle Tom.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes.
Remember the cyanide in Chicago?
Yes. In the Tylenol?
Yeah. There was a copycat incident in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, where there was cyanide and a can of Coke. That was my Uncle Tom.
Oh, my Lord. Tom.
Jackie Marie Cation. Why haven't you told me about this already? You owe me an email.
Oh, yeah. It's literally. I don't want to. Should I just ruin it? Should I just tell you what? Or
don't ruin it.
No, okay. No.
No,
save
you should
it.
You should do a hometown.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll talk to you about this.
Okay. We're plugging future hometown episode.
Right. And listen to the Dork Forest, you guys. Greg Proops just did a great thing about baseball, the Negro Leagues.
Awesome. Yeah, the Dork Forest has been going. It was up first. It's been going since 06, you say.
06. And
I was close with my 07.
You were. And it's so funny because we don't do season. Like, I don't do seasons. So, like, Jimmy Pardo is on, like, season 30 because he splits it into, like, 12 episode seasons.
Yeah.
I'm in the 14th year, you guys. That's all we're
doing.
We're just doing years.
Amazing. Nice. Amazing.
You were one of the first to be
doing.
This
is season 2.
Season 2.
Yeah.
We're
us.
Season 2. Yeah. Do You Need a Ride?
We're in year 7.
Split it in half.
Thank you for being on, Jackie. You're the best.
Yes, great to see
Jackie
you.
Jackie Cation, everybody. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN. AR!
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you
with Karen and Chris.